Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court declined emergency relief for New York healthcare workers. We're going to break down this case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, it is disappointing that the Supreme Court, by a 6-3 vote, refused to grant a request for emergency relief for healthcare workers in New York because of their sincere religious exemption request. In fact, what happened is the New York governor, like the Maine governor, issued these orders ordering all healthcare workers to be vaccinated, receive the COVID shots by a certain time, and then also ordered the employers to not grant any religious exemption request. That's really problematic because that means that the state is saying to the private employers, you've got to follow my directive, and in doing so, you have to disobey the federal Title VII law, which applies to you and which says that when an employee presents a sincere religious belief, that you have to undertake reasonable accommodations. So this is what is happening. These employers, even if they want to grant religious exemptions in New York and Maine, are prohibited from doing so by the governor's orders. So what was before the United States Supreme Court was this clear violation. It's a violation of the Supremacy Clause. The Supremacy Clause says that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and also federal law trumps state law when it has a direct application to some state issue. Not every federal law trumps state law, but certain federal laws trump state law. In other words, Title VII applies to employers with 15 or more employees, prohibiting discrimination on the basis of race and religion. That's clear. That applies across the board. States can require more strict standards, but they can't undermine that federal law. That's what the Constitution says, that the federal law preempts the states in those certain specific situations. And there is a balance between states' rights and where the federal law preempts some of those rights. What the governors of Maine and New York have said is that the federal law, we're going to throw it out. And for you employers, I'm ordering you to violate federal law and follow my order instead.
It's unbelievable. But, you know, with this case, with the U.S. Supreme Court refusing 6-3, I guess our first question is always, well, where's Kavanaugh and Barrett that have been so disappointed in so many different instances? We had Justices Thomas Alito and Gorsuch dissented. And, you know, Gorsuch, his dissent was similar to what he wrote in Maine when we appealed to the Supreme Court in Maine's case. It was very similar, and you can really tell where he's coming from. In this case, he wrote, the new governor announced that the decision to eliminate the exemption was intentional and justified because no organized religion sought it, and individuals who did it were not listening to God and what God wants. Those are in quotes. Now, thousands of New York healthcare workers face the loss of their jobs and eligibility for unemployment benefits. 20 of them have filed suit arguing that the state's conduct violates the First Amendment and asking us to enjoin the enforcement of the mandate against them until this court can decide their petition for certiorari. Respectfully, I believe they deserve that relief.
He wrote a very good dissent.
Both times he's done this.
Both times. He mentions our Maine case. We had the same thing. We have the same identical fact pattern in Maine. We asked the Supreme Court for an emergency petition to give us an injunction pending the request for what's called certiorari, full review of the case. It was a 6-3 decision. Gorsuch was in the right on that one as well, wrote a strong dissent. He would have granted it, so would have Alito and Thomas. Kavanaugh and Barrett wrote a very short opinion. Kavanaugh joined it. they didn't deny that we met the high legal standard, which is your right to your indisputable right to relief. They didn't deny that. What they essentially said is that, well, you just need to stand in line, basically, and go through the normal petition for review process rather than the emergency injunction. And that would take a long time.
Stand in line while they don't have income?
You can't stand in line
really?
When all these people are being terminated. And by the time the court ultimately gets around to looking at the case, you know, the horse is out of the barn. And these people are terminated and the damage is done and you can't unring that bell.
Easy for you to say, I'd say.
Yeah, in your protected, you know, ivory palace there. Mm-hmm. So that is what happened in Maine. That's what happened here. And Gorsuch says, look, this is what the Supreme Court did in the church litigation. Mm-hmm. He said in the church litigation, we sat back. Now, Gorsuch wasn't one of them, but the majority sat back and they allowed these unconstitutional restrictions for several months to continue. And in fact, the first petition at the U.S. Supreme Court was a case out of California, South Bay, and our case, which was the case involving Elim Romanian Pentecostal Church in May, April-May of 2020. It got there very quickly. And they did not grant those cases. Now, in our case, we were fine because that ultimately caused the Illinois governor to repeal all the restrictions on churches, and he kept them off. But it wasn't until the very end of November, 1st of December, that the Supreme Court had a change of personnel. Barrett got on the bench, replacing Ginsburg, and consequently, now we started to get 5-4 decisions in our favor. So they finally started correcting the problems and the unconstitutional restrictions with churches, and they continued to do that. And then we ended up eventually getting a 6-3 decision in our favor. And he says this is the same thing that happened in the churches. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court sat on the sideline, allowing the unconstitutional restrictions, and then finally got involved after months and remedied it. Now we're doing the same thing.
Over and over again, we kept petitioning on behalf of the churches and finally got our statewide permanent injunction.
Yeah, he says, now we're doing the same thing. And in fact, people are being injured by this. And it's a clear violation of the law. Mm-hmm. The governor doesn't have the right to say that people who are not getting these COVID shots are not, quote, listening to God and what God wants. That's what the governor of New York said.
Right. And these justices are supposed to be constitutionalists? I really question that.
Yeah. So here's the problem is that in the short run, we have litigation going on in New York. The petition before the U.S. Supreme Court was not our case. It was another case filed by some friends of ours in the same week that we filed our case in New York.
We did file an amicus brief on behalf of these.
We did file
an
amicus brief on behalf of one of our clients in our New York case, and that is a man who owns a nursing home, has more than 50 years operated this nursing facility in New York. 15 residents currently live there, and he's a Christian. Many of his employees are Christian as well. One of them has gotten the COVID shot. The others do not want it. He wants to give religious exemptions to them, but the governor's order says he cannot. And if he does, he will lose his business license. On the other hand, if he follows the governor's order and he would then have to terminate his employees, he has one employee left. And what would that mean? He'd have to close down the nursing home, but he can't do that because there's other laws that obviously kind of like protect people in nursing homes. You can't just
kick them to the curb. Kick them on the street.
And it takes a while to get some of these people placed into new locations.
It's unbelievable. It's not about people and caring about people. It's about these evil agendas and these policies that are written based on politics and not on health.
Well, and imagine some of these people that have been in this nursing home for a long time. And it's a small nursing home. So it's not big, and people, I'm sure, because of it being smaller, Christian-operated, they're getting more individualized care, and now they're being threatened with, we're going to have to find you another place. How unsettling is that? Not knowing where you're going to go, who you're going to be with, what it's going to be like, whether the care is going to be good, whether it's going to be as personal. all of these problems are caused by these governors acting unconstitutionally. It's really, really clear what they've done.
Right. So we have to continue to prevail and pray the Supreme Court will finally do the right thing.
So we have our main case pending before the U.S. Supreme Court on a request for a full review. We're going to ask the lower court in our New York case to rule. Obviously, the court will rule against us, go to the appeals court, rule against us, and then go back to the United States Supreme Court, as this other case can do, and ask for a full review there as well from the Supreme Court. I think we'll win in the end, but the tragedy is there will be people who will lose their jobs and other people who otherwise will be injured in the short term. But we want to make sure we never go down this road again and that there's ultimate justice. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.